You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, March 31st. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Keep Thyself Pure.
All right, good. Thank you. Wasn't that good? All right, let's go back in our Bible, please, and notice, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, where it says, Keep thyself pure. I was raised in Maryland. I was born in Baltimore City, and oftentimes I would go down to the Washington area over the weekends, and I would watch the Army play the Navy. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C. area, you know it's a place of monuments. You know it's a place of museums, different museums. They have a museum there that is called the Smithsonian Institute, and inside the Smithsonian Institute, there is a large diamond. At one time, it was called the world's largest diamond, and it was called the Hope Diamond, absolutely priceless. It has a guard around it. Of course, it's in a vault, and it is very, very hard to be able to get near. May I say that that diamond is very valuable. If anybody was to get that diamond, they would be absolutely wealthy beyond compare because of the value. In your life, you have something that is, I believe, of a greater value, and that is purity that God has given you. And I want to speak tonight on keep thyself pure. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, the Bible says, What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I know of a pastor that's here of a large Baptist church that's here in the metro area. And in a book, he said this. He said that since he's been pastoring this particular church for over 10 years now, that he has counseled 1,069 marriages that's been in trouble. Out of the 1,069 marriages that's been in trouble, 90% of them is because of an impurity that took place before the bonds of marriage. May I say tonight that purity is very, very important. The Bible talks about how purity is revealed. Let me give you some of these things to think about tonight. Purity is revealed by our thoughts. Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7. The Bible says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as a person thinks, that is a revelation, if you would please, or an illumination of who they really are. It reveals who they are inside of the heart. Somebody said this, You are not what you think, but what you think, you are. Very true. Thoughts produce an action produces a habit, and before you know it, a habit produces a lifestyle. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 28, the Bible says, And whosoever looketh on a woman and lusteth after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Now what is that? That's a thought. That's a thought. You have to be careful to protect your thoughts. You know, when Mrs. Wells and I, we dated for a little over 2 years, and I remember when I was in Bible college, of course, most of you know my testimony, I stuttered a lot when I went into Bible college, and I would get up, and I would begin to speak, and I would stammer, and I would stutter, and so when I was in Bible college, I would start to ask a girl to go out with me, and I would stutter all the way through. I mean, it was just a stammering problem, and so, but girls would eventually understand what I was trying to convey, and I would begin to date a girl here or whatever. And so when I dated these girls, God began to speak to their hearts. Matter of fact, God spoke to their hearts about surrendering to the mission field. And so I often have joked about the matter that when I started to date them and then God spoke to their hearts, they weren't just leaving me, they were leaving the country to get away from me. But God was using using me as a conduit. Every girl I would ask out, God would call to the mission field. And so word got around, don't go out with him. If you go out with him, you're going to wind up on the mission field. And so God was using me as a conduit. But I never will forget praying a prayer, and Mrs. Welsh doesn't like, I don't think, every time I tell the story, but it is true. And I prayed the prayer, and I said, dear God, I don't know who I'm supposed to marry. And so whoever you want me to marry, I just ask you to do a question, answer a question for me, and that is, you show me who it is, if you don't mind. Would you please do that? And I said, so please, would you help me? Here's what I need you to do. God, would you do this? Have the person you want me to marry to ask me out. That's all I ask. You know, I didn't think it was a big deal. I mean, God could do that. God could speak through almost anyone. And so I thought, God could speak through her, whoever her might be. And man, I tell you, I was noticing Sylvia, and I noticed her in church, and she was always walking people down the aisle. She was leading people to Christ. I thought, well, that's good, that's good. I watched her, she obeyed her dad. I thought, well, that's good, that's good. I watched her, she was very courteous and respectful to her mom and was obedient to her, and I thought, well, yeah, that's good, that's good. I watched all sorts of stuff that she did, and so I thought, well, I'm tempted. I am so tempted. I want to go up to her and say, look, would you go out with me? But I was afraid if I did that, that she would get called to the mission field and I'd never see her again. And so I prayed that prayer and I said, dear God, just please, would you do this? Would you please speak to her heart? And if you want us to be together, just simply have her to ask me out. I was in charge of the Bible clubs at our church. I had a large amount of public school Bible clubs, a large amount. And I was the director of all these different Bible clubs. And I had the college tour group to come over. We were on a football field that day. Had the college tour group to come over. They sang. And then I asked for some soul winners to come to the church. And Brother Andrews sent some soul winners from the church to come over. And she was in the teen department at that time. And she came over. And I thought, this is it. Man, God is setting it up real good. I mean, this is going to be it. I mean, God is just, man, ain't God good. You know, God is just putting her right there for me. And she's going to ask me out. Probably the first time she sees me, she's going to go running up to me. And she's going to say, wow, will you go out with me? She didn't wow about anything. You know, and here I was waiting for that, and it didn't happen, and the singer sang, and I preached, and people got saved, and she led people to Christ, and I thought, man, this is great, but she is missing a golden opportunity. And so I thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk her to the car. So I walked her very slow to the car, you know, just slow. I mean, you couldn't walk much slower without falling down. And so I'm walking her to the car, and I'm just waiting for her to pop the question, will you go out with me? She didn't say nothing. She didn't look at me. She didn't, I don't even think she was breathing. And so got her all the way over to the car, opened the car door for her, and she got in. She got all of her body parts in. This is always good. After that, I shut the door. And so I shut the door, and she drove off. And as she drove off, I thought, man, she missed a golden opportunity. I can't believe she messed up. You know, the car went around the football field, and she got out. She walked across the football. Cody, you getting this? This is good. She walked across the football field. I'm just trying to help. She walked across the football field, and she came up to me, and she said, my mother wants to know. My mother. And I thought, dear God, I didn't pray for her mother. But she said, my mother wants to know, would you be willing to come over and have a meal with us sometime? And I thought, man, it came out of her mouth. Amen? I knew it. I knew. I went all over the dorm saying, look, I'm going to go over to the house one day and be with the family, and this is the girl I'm going to marry. Now, I shouldn't have did that because word gets around, you know. So word was all over the church, you know, by the next couple of services. Hey, you know, Mike found a girl, and he's going to marry the girl. It's like I was getting married tomorrow. I haven't even met the parents yet, you know. And so word was getting all around. But I tell you what, God answered prayer. Now, I made a promise. By the way, I kept myself pure all the way to marriage. All the way to marriage. I was a public school kid, never did drugs, never smoked a cigarette, never did alcohol, never did anything like that. Kept myself pure all the way to the marriage altar, and it wasn't going to be any different in those few years we were courting. And so I gave my word to the Lord that I keep myself pure to the altar, and she did too. And I remember the day she walked down to the altar. I remember that. I was scared. We had about, I don't know, 300 or so people attended the wedding. It was in a gymnasium. see them. And she walked down the aisle, and man, you know, I don't understand this. I really can't comprehend this to this day. You know, we counsel people and we help them and all this, and then that marriage ceremony is just so ridiculously slow. I mean, you know, they got that music playing. Jared, did you think the same thing when you got married? Did you think it was slow? It was too slow, wasn't it? Too slow. Denton, do you think it was too slow? It was, I mean, for us guys that were up there, I'm telling you, way too slow, you know? And so, I mean, they're doing that marriage stuff, you know, that marriage music, and it's dun, 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 dun. Well, first off, come on, you know? But it's dun, 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 dun. Yeah, and they're walking really slow. It's like, okay, well, hurry. You know, and they're walking for like 100 miles away, and you finally see them coming, you know, and they're taking their time. And man, I tell you what, you know, wouldn't it be great? Now, some of these girls, I got to be careful what I say, because you'll do it. I know you. You'll do it, you know. But, you know, somebody put on a pair of tennis shoes or something, you know, put it up underneath the dress, and when dun, dun, you go, pew, you know, right there. But, man, she took her time. She was walking down. And I was waiting, and man, my heart, Brother Bulkley, I'm telling you, if anybody would have had a heart attack or close to it, it was me that day. And man, my heart was going ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. She's getting closer, ba-boom, 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 real close, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. You know, and she's standing right there. And then the pastor married us, went through all the stuff, and I couldn't remember what it was. Really, you know, I just, you know, you're just there. You're brain dead. You're thinking about one thing. You know, I want to get married and get out of here, you know. And then he said, you know, you may... Okay, and said, you may now kiss the bride. You remember that part, don't you? Yeah. So he said, you may now kiss the bride. Man, I tell you what, I froze. Would you stay out of my preaching, please? I mean, I'm right there. I froze. I've been practicing this thing for 2 weeks. Man, you know, I mean, I stood in front of the mirror and I puckered. I tried the side pucker and it didn't look right. Others didn't look right. I wet my lips excessively. And I thought, man, now you're going to slide off. You know, and I thought, man, I can't get it right. And he said, you may now kiss the bride. I was scared to death. I'm telling you. I mean, my heart was in my throat. I mean, there's hundreds of people watching me, and I'm going to give her my first, her first, our first kiss. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. So I close my eyes. Now, you don't want to do that. And I kid you not, I went to kiss her, and I missed. And she looked at me like, okay, want to try again? Embarrassing. Now, but I tell you, I'm so glad. That I've been able to look at this boy right here. I'm so glad I've been able to look at that boy right there, and that girl right there, and say, we did it right. I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad that I was able, you know, there's something about the dad when the preacher says, who giveth this woman in marriage? And the dad says, her mother and I. There's something about the giving away that is a high privilege and honor. And man, yeah, I'm so glad that we were able to do stuff like that. May I say, listen, what causes a person to begin to go downward fashionly in losing their purity is a wrong thought life. You have got to learn to protect your thought. Here's what the Bible says. Ezekiel chapter 8 and in verse 12, the Bible says, chambers of the imaginary. Chambers of the imaginary. You start to get a wrong imagination inside of your heart. Did you know what doctors say? Doctors say what you think about excessively during the day is what composes your dreams at night. And why is it that you're dreaming what you're dreaming? Is because you're allowing your imaginary mind, if you will, please, to think and to labor over those things during the day. You've got to learn to control those eyes, because what you control your eyes in doing does create the thoughts if you allow your eyes to wander. Job said this in Job 31 and verse 1. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. He says, why then should I think upon the maid? So he said, first I made a covenant with my eyes so that my eyes would not affect my thought pattern. So you've got to be careful about where your eye. Now, fellas, you be careful when you go into the gas stations around here. You be careful about that shelf that has those dirty magazines on. You be careful not to look at stuff like that, because as you look at something like that, it creates that which is a mind control. Everybody in here that has computers, you better make sure that you're accountable to somebody. Because if you're not accountable to somebody, something's going to come up on the screen, you either purposely or not purposely, it's going to be brought. And parents, you be aware of a teenager that will not let you see their cell phone, that will not let you see their history. You be careful of a teenager that will not and gets mad at you when they want to go in the background of the computer and find out where you have been. You be careful about that. Why is it that they're hiding it if there is nothing to hide? Why is it that they're being so secretive about that if there's nothing to be secretive about? By the way, you ought to be so open with your parents that your parents has every right to look at everything that you have in your life. You ought to be so in tune with God and so in tune with mom and dad that you have nothing to hide. There is no shame. You say, well, I tell you what, it's none of my parents' business. I've got news for you. It is all of your parents' business. And your parents ought to love you enough to keep you in check. And if they love you enough, they will keep you in check. And they can't do the thoughts, but they can prevent things from coming in your life that's going to cause harmful thoughts in your life. That's the downwardness, if you will please, of a person about to go into an impure area is the thought life. And not only that, but words. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Two college girls in a northeastern college was out on the ice. One girl fell. Some guys looked at her as she revealed her thigh. And the young man that looked at her got her attention. And she said, I bet you got a thrill, didn't you? Another girl, not shortly after that, fell on the same icy area. As she slipped, she was totally embarrassed. She looked up and she apologized to the boys immediately and said, that was totally unladylike. I'm sorry. The words revealed the heart. You have to be very, very careful about the words that you say and about the words that you hear. I'm talking about downward trends happen when there's wrong thoughts, when there's wrong words, wrong reading material. You know, reading material will produce pictures inside of the mind. You don't have to look at porno in order to have a wrong picture inside of your head. You can read about it, and it produces a wrong picture inside of your head. The romance novels, I'm telling you, listen to me, couples, it is very dangerous for you as a couple to read a romance novel. You ought to have a romance with your wife or with your husband and them alone. It's these things, these passionately filled type of novels that's out there, the reading material. I'm talking about a downwardness, a downward fall, if you will, please, with the thoughts and with the words, the reading material, the television watching. You said, but preacher, you understand, you're hitting everything tonight, and I did like you until I showed up for this service. Well, let me try and get you to like me as I turn you towards purity a little bit. Can I do it? Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 101 in verse 3. The Bible says, I was set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I was set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You know, what comes across, isn't it funny how we do? Isn't it funny? If somebody came in your living room and said a curse word in your living room, a physical person, a physical being came into your living room and said a curse word or told you a dirty joke or started to take a portion of their clothes off so that revealed their nakedness, you say, get out. You get out of here. You're not going to do that. But then we'll put a screen in our living room. And we invite people into our living room to undress. And we invite people in our living room to say curse words. And yet we see nothing wrong with that. May I say it's just as wrong. I'm talking about protecting the mind. I'm talking about protecting the heart. You say, well, you're going too far. But I tell you, the average Christian does not go far enough. That's why we have so many people ruined. That's why we have so many people. Come on. When you fill your life full of corruption, when you fill your life full of evil, When you fill your life full of wrong things, there is no more room for God. And no wonder there's not a spiritual hotness in churches today. No wonder when we go to churches, it's lukewarm. Nobody says amen. Nobody goes to the altar. Nobody gets saved. Nobody gets baptized. You know why? Because there's so much wickedness and corruptness and darkness inside of the heart that the Holy Ghost, there's just absolutely no room for him to control. And I'm telling you tonight, there's the thoughts, there's the words, there's the wrong reading material, the television. Hey, what about the music? Oh, you say, preacher, come on. You knew I was, I knew you were going to go there. You know, I mean, my music is my business, okay? But let me tell you what God has to say about your music and your business. Here's what it says. The Bible says in Psalm 40, listen to it in verse 3. The Bible says, and he hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Here, music test. Are you ready? The music that you listen to, does it put a fear in your heart towards the Lord? Music test. Are you ready? Let's take a music test tonight. The music you listen to, does it create such a testimony that many that look upon you just simply trust God? When they hear the music that you're listening to, what does it remind them of? By the way, would you change it if the best Christian that you knew were standing beside you? You know, you have to be careful about the music. The music does paint pictures inside of the head. Hey, what about clothing? Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 2, the Bible says, uncover the locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be revealed. It says, yea, thy shame shall be seen. Ladies, you better be careful how you dress that you don't draw the man. And you know, I know we don't want to hear that, but I'm telling you, the average guy doesn't go to the beach to swim. Say amen. You better be careful about the things that you put on your body that it does not draw the man. You know the reason that men go into sin is because some girl is wearing stuff that is so absolutely tight that there is no question about what's underneath. Be careful. Now, I'm not saying you got to wear something that makes you look like a tent. I mean, thank God if you dress up somehow. All right, but I am saying this, that you ought not to wear stuff that is revealing in such a matter that it draws the eyes of a man in such a way that his eyes are not focused on Christ. God says when a woman bears the thigh that she reveals her neck in it. Well, be careful. Be careful. Be careful about wearing something that is so short that all of a sudden, you say, how do I know, preacher? Okay, well, you're walking down the street and there's 40 guys, boing. And they're all boing at you. It ought to make you think about something. Hello? Can I help you tonight? You can dress in style like a lady and love it too. Come on. You can dress the way they ought to dress that's pleasing to God and also be somebody that wears nice stuff. You say, well, preacher, you're going to get me in trouble because I'm a man and I'm going to have to go out and buy that type of stuff now for my wife. Good. Good. It's funny, the men complain about their wives and they say, well, I wish you would dress nicer. Well, pay up. If you want her to dress nicer, go buy her nice things or stop complaining. You know, I tell you, I have ladies that come in and they're frustrated. And they say, well, you know, my husband wants me to dress nice, but, you know, he only gives me a dollar and a quarter a week as a budget. You can't even go buy junk at a thrift store for that. Now, if you want her to dress nice, then pay up. Some of you gals, you're looking at me saying, thank you, preacher. Well, wait, the shoe's on the other foot, too. If you want your husband to dress a little bit nicer, help him find deals. You know, most guys don't know how to match. You know, most guys don't know how to dress. Did you see Joseph this morning? Where in the world? Joseph wore this purple. I know he was trying to be the Easter Bunny, but it didn't work. He wore this purple jacket, came all the way down to here. You know, he looked like he chased the guy a country mile and actually caught him. Did you see Brother Wynn? Were they having competition? Is that what they're doing? They're having competition? I could tell. They both lost. But your clothing, you know, be careful about the clothing. It reveals things, okay? All right, let me give you some things. Answers to staying pure. In that downward ascension, understand this. You always have to work extra hard at having a pure mind. Doesn't come easy. Look, if you're a guy in here and you say, well, I've never been tempted. Either you're not real or you're lying pretty good. Stop the spiritual stuff. Or what you call spiritual. Well, you know, I have never thought any wicked thing. I'm just so good. Oh, quit. You know, you're making God shake his head way too much. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Psalm 119 in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Talking to a young man. He says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So how is it that we cleanse our way? We fall in love with the Bible. We get the Bible. Somebody said, read it until you burn. You know, you get consumed with the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to penetrate inside of the mind, inside of the heart. The Bible talks about in the book of Galatians that the things that we're supposed to think on. He even gives you a list of things to think on. So be careful about what you think on and allow your mind to be able to take into the Word of God. I'm talking about how not to have that downward dissension, if you will, please. Keep a pure mind. Work on having a pure mind. Are you listening to me? Don't be alone with the opposite sex. It's too risky. You say, ever? Hey, I'm not saying ever. I am saying this, that a lot of young people are getting alone in places that is going to be your ultimate destruction. Boy and a girl not married in the backseat of a car. Hey, you're asking for trouble. Being alone in the house, mom and dad not there, you're asking for trouble. Spending an excessive amount of time trying to get away from the crowd, you're asking for trouble. You ought to welcome people to come into your life, not look for ways to get away from people. Somebody said, well, I tell you what, when I got married, I wanted to eat her up. Then after I got married, I wish I would have. Somebody said opposites attract and then they attack. We tell young people around here, when you first get interested in a girl, go to the dad. Do it respectfully. So I don't like that, preacher. You know, what are you doing getting dad involved? Well, he's dad. He's dad. Go to the dad and say, look, I have a liking about your daughter. Would you give me permission to be able to speak to your daughter? Hey, do it proper. By the way, you'll make more yardage that way. Hello? Allow the parents to have a role. Now, if they're not having a role, why not? What is your intentions? I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying being alone with the opposite sex, what is that? You know, and by the way, somebody says, well, I tell you what, you know, we just couldn't find anybody to be close to. There's tons of people. There's tons of people. I still think that a teenager, or you listen, you're not going to like this one for sure. I still think that a teenager ought to stay a teenager, not get involved in the dating capacity until you get in college. I mean, you have no idea what's going on the inside. Well, preacher, I tell you what, I saw her and it was love at first glance. Wow. Boy, I tingled on the inside. Well, I do too if I drink extra hot coffee. That don't mean nothing. Put some Tabasco on something that's hot. You'll tingle. It doesn't mean nothing. You know, preacher, I tell you what, you know, when I saw her walking down, isn't it amazing how people, they do, you know, I was walking down the hallway and I saw that she was at Parkside. We got a lot of girls at Parkside. I was walking down the hallway and I saw her and boy, you know, God spoke to my heart. And God said, that's the one. But I find that so incredibly hard to believe when God has not spoken to your heart about anything else. You be careful about using God as a way out. Be careful about that. You allow yourself to be in a place where it's a controlled environment. Allow yourself to be in a place, if you will, where there is protectionary measures that are there. Come on. Jonathan and Heather, Heather was in Indiana. She's an Indiana girl. And so we were in evangelism and we're driving down the road. Jonathan had preached a vacation Bible school there at the church, and I'd always preached at that church for many years. And so he'd preached a vacation Bible school, and he did it right, and I appreciate it. He noticed this young lady, and he said, Dad, he said, you know, hey, he said, I noticed this girl in church. And I said, well, good. I just left it hanging. Good. He said, no, I mean, I noticed her. I said, well, good. He said, will you pray about it? I said, sure. So months had gone by, I guess about 4 months or so, and he did the vacation Bible school for him. I'm driving to the same church 4 months later. He's back with us. It's after the summertime when they traveled on their own, and he's back with us, and we're getting up closer to the church, and he said, have you prayed about it? I said, what? He said, have you prayed about that girl? I said, oh, I forgot. He said, are you serious? I said, son, I forgot. It's just not been a top priority to me. And he said, I can't believe you forgot. And I said, well, I'll pray. And so I prayed. We got to the church, and I met with a pastor. And I said, I want to find out everything about the Carroll family. I want all the bad you can think of. Just tell me. I can take it. That was her mom and dad. I said, about Heather. I said, tell me everything. The good, the bad, the evil. Just tell me everything. And so the pastor didn't have anything to say. What are you doing? Is that what you have, your list? Oh, that's after you got married. I understand. And so you did it, not me. And so the pastor said, I don't have anything bad to say. You're in trouble tonight. I don't have anything bad to say. And I said, are you kidding? He said, I don't have one bad thing to say. Excellent family. I said, well, great. I said, well, you know, Jonathan's interested in Heather a little bit. And I said, would it be okay with your permission that we take this to maybe the next level? And since you as pastor, as an authority, we'd like to take it to mom and dad. Would that be okay with your permission? And he said, sure. And so we met with the parents, and parents came in and said, you know, Jonathan's kind of interested in Heather, would like to become a friend. I said, would you pray about if you would allow him to be a friend to your daughter? And so they went out and prayed, and Brother Carroll was running some type of machinery through the field that night, combine or something. So he's praying during the night, calls me up at 5:30 in the morning. 5:30. I did not know that God could answer prayer at 5:30 in the morning. Called me up at 5:30 in the morning and said, preacher, he said, we have peace. I said, well, that's great. So then we met again. I said, well, I guess maybe we ought to find out if Heather is interested. I mean, it'd be nice to know what she thinks about it, right? So why'd you go that route? Let me tell you why we went that route. Because we care about people, and I've seen a lot of kids get together, and all of a sudden breaks mom and daddy's heart. Dad knows something about the kid that the young person doesn't know, or preacher knows something about the child that the child involved does not know. There could have been a lot of protection, could have been a lot of help, but they evaded going through people that could help. My Bible still does say that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Now, I tell my boys this, I don't pick them. You're not going to blame me. You are not going to blame me. So that list that you have is all your fault. But I said, you are not going to blame me. I said, so you know, I want to know if they're spiritual. I want to know if they love the Lord. I want to know, you know, do they read their Bible? Do they care about others? Are they soul winners? I mean, you know, are they worldly, you know, in the world and doing wicked stuff? I mean, I want to know these things, you know, and I call it five bells. And so I said, I want to know if they hit the five bells. Now, if they hit the five bells, I don't care. Hey, you pick out what they look like. I don't want nothing to do with that. You pick out their personality. I don't want nothing to do with that. I mean, I just want to know if they're walking with God enough that they're not going to destroy you. That's all I want to know. And so you know, I'll give permission. And so you know, we told the, and boy, you know, dad went home and told Heather you know, Mrs. Carroll told Heather, and she was delighted about it. And, of course, the rest is history. Now, may I say this? I'm saying that we have to be careful that, and I'm not saying that's exactly the right way to do everything, but I am saying this, you ought to keep your parents involved. Right. Now, let your parents decide how much they want to be involved, but don't shut your parents out. Let your parents be mom and dad. They raised you for 18 years. They raised you for 20 years. At least let them have a say in your life. At least allow them to provide some protections in your life that's going to be healthy for you. I mean, you do want to have a good relationship with mom and dad after you're married, don't you? So allow them to be a part of that. All right? Touching. Here's what it says. I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, it is good for man not to touch a woman. The word touch there, if you'll look it up, it means to kindle. To kindle. All right, a woman, why is God saying to the woman to dress a certain way so that it doesn't catch the eyes of the man? Well, we know this, that the man's eyes are turned on by look. Why does God say right here that it's not good for man to touch a woman? We know this, that a woman is turned on by touch. The touch of sensitive words, the touch of the physicalness, all right? And so God says right here, he says, don't touch. He said, then you're not going to kindle it, all right? So what do you do if a guy comes up to you? Watch this. What do you do if a guy comes up to you and a guy says, boy, I tell you what, I would really like to get a kiss. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? What you could do is this. You could say, look, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you something that's going to be incredible. Already got one, thank you. I'm going to give you something that's going to be incredible. You know, he says, well, man, come on, can you give me a kiss? Say, pucker, big boy, pucker. Oh, you do better than that, pucker. Let him pucker, you know. And as he's puckering, say, now make it real good. Because you're going to get a surprise. Pucker good. Reach down there and take off your shoe. Now, hopefully you don't have a shoe as a girl that looks like that. That's an oversized balloon is what it is. Pucker, huh? Pucker. Rear back. Make it good. If you're going to do it, make it good. And kaboom. Man, knock him into Pennsylvania. Hey, what am I saying? You need odor eaters. Be careful. Be careful, okay? The Bible talks about that kissing, that embracing. Okay, somebody says, well, so what? I talked to a teenager the other day. You just remember, I came back from a youth conference, right? So I'm preaching to 1,200 teenagers. Teenager said, so what? So what? So what if I lose my purity? No big deal. I'm going to get married anyway. No big deal. When a young person loses their purity, here's what happens. They lose their joy. You know why? Because something has been stolen from them or given away wrongfully. They lose joy. You know, they lose blessings. Did you know when a young person gives away their purity, they danger that which is a future potential of training their children? They lack a resistance for that future temptation over and over and over again. If you succumb to it once, it's easier to succumb to it a second time. If you succumb to it a second time, it's easier to succumb to it a third time. And it goes on. The seeds of a future crop will be reaped. Then the effectiveness of having a great testimony to your children and grandchildren will be damaged. man sitting on a plane, and he said to the woman sitting next, and said, hey, I'll tell you what. He said, I would like for you and I to be able to have, I'll use not descriptive words, immorality. Would you do that with me? She said, not on your life. He said, I'll give you $10,000. She said, I'll do it. He said, you mean you'll do it? He, for $10,000? She said, I'll do it. He said, how about for $5? She said, what in the world you think I am? He said, we've already decided and understood what you are. Now we're just negotiating on a price. Just keep it pure. Just keep it pure. Keep the mind pure. Keep the heart pure. Keep it pure. I preach to young people over, and I find out that a lot of young people have already lost their purity. You know what I tell them? I said, keep it pure from this day forward. You can start today. And you can keep, you're a single adult. You can make a commitment to God, and you could keep it pure from this day forward. You can decide that you're going to do what is right, and from this day forward, you're just going to do what is right and keep it pure so that one day in your heart, you can say, on that day, I began. On that day, I started. And on that day, I made a commitment from that day forward that I was just going to stay pure. By the way, there's some married couples tonight. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to come to an altar tonight. You need to pray together that you're going to stay pure in your marriage, that you're not going to cheat on your wife, that your wife is not going to cheat on you, or wife, you're not going to cheat on him, but keep it pure from this day forward. You as a young person tonight, you need to come and pray to God, then you need to make a commitment to your parents. Say, Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that I'm going to keep myself pure until the marriage altar. I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to keep myself pure. You as a young person need to take that card tonight called pure. You need to bring it to an altar. You need to pray over it. When you go back, you need to write a date on the back of that so that you remember this is the date that you said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay pure from this day forward. By the way, God can do that in your life if you'll let him. But you got to be careful where you go, what you do. There's a lion out there. Bible says that he is Satan, and he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Some of you need to go home and clean up your television watching. Some of you need to go home and get rid of some garbage out of your house, and you know it's been cluttering. You know it's been, cluttering. And it's been filling up and filling up and filling up. And you know in your heart, you need to make some decisions. Keep thyself pure. Keep. You say, preacher, it's hard. I didn't say it would be easy, but it's right. It's right. Keep thyself pure. But preacher, you don't understand the temptations. Understand. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. You can too. Keep thyself pure.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.